One. Welcome to the Long Beach Social Experiment Podcast with your host, Steven Martinez, aka Mega Man. This is episode 282. First things first, shout outs to Mirage behind the scenes. Shout outs to Viva Mascal from East of the River Studio, the network. Everyone follow them. Good people. My guest for this episode, she's everywhere. She's always showing love to a lot of the small businesses, street vendors. I mean, always, just always showing love and just doing whatever she can to spread that kindness, spread that love and all that. So my guest for this episode is Cindy, but we all know her as Cali Girl Eats.
What up, what up?
Oh, damn. Let me introduce. Okay, take over the show then. Take over the show. What's
hey,
up, girl?
What's up? Thank you for having me on.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why I wanted to get you on is that I knew you for a while, for a couple years, and you're just out there. You're out there for the community. You're out there helping out street vendors. You're over there helping out a lot of the small restaurants and business, you know, to just get that love and shine. And a lot of people always ask, you know, Mega Man, why you always bring a lot of food bloggers on your show? Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because they're keeping a lot of the businesses afloat. Yeah. And I want to get to, let's get straight to the bottom of it, you know. What made you decide to be a food blogger?
Okay, so it goes back to my
Because every food blogger is different.
Yeah, every food blogger is different. So for me, I love LA. I'm about LA. I was raised in West Covina. My parents had a manufacturing business, six brothers and sisters. Downtown in LA, my dad had a manufacturing business. And back in the day when George Marciano, Guess, as we know, Jim Azee, Quiksilver, all these fashion brands, there was one Chemin de Fer, that my dad, you know, there was his clients. And so child labor laws did not exist in a Mexican family, okay? So when we would go, when we were out of school, after school, or, you know, during breaks, winter breaks, we'd have to go and help at the cutting service. And my father, you know, he was very special to me. He was my best friend. And growing up in a family business in a Mexican household, you work, you contribute, and you work 6 days a week. My father on Saturdays would take us to the violent swap meet to work because we'd sell dresses to raise extra money for our family. Mm-hmm. But on the days that we'd go downtown, my favorite time was lunchtime, you know? So I knew that when we'd hear that, I'd go to my dad like, Papi, come on, Vamanos, we gotta go eat. So that was the time. And
yeah, she does her own music too.
Exactly.
Viva,
exactly.
What's up, man?
What's up? So yeah, I could be a background singer. No, just kidding. But yeah, my dad would invite us to come and he'd tell us, what do you guys want? And of course, I'd get like tacos or, you know, I don't know, birria de lengua, like tacos de lengua, tortas, whatever the hell we wanted. You know, my dad would just hook it up. And if we worked hard, we ate well. So he would tell us, no work, no eat. Those were words that we literally lived by. Because if my dad didn't sell, you know, he didn't make money that day, mm-hmm. we weren't eating. Like, we were eating a pot Damn. Of beans. So with my six brothers and sisters, we always, you know, would contribute and help. And I loved the fact that my dad taught me a really strong work ethic, because in life you have to survive. And if anything COVID has taught us was back when everything was shut down, that's when I decided I wanted to be a food blogger, because mm-hmm. it really made me think about the families that were selling tacos on the street corner. And, you know, I looked at my family and I said, I want to be a food blogger. I want to get out there and I want to start blogging, you know, and helping communities and helping our neighbors. And, you know, you would see, like, where I live in Alhambra, there's a fruit vendor that literally parks his little carrito with his umbrella and he's selling, like, his mangoes, his strawberries, you know, his coconut, agua frescas. And so I went over and told him, like, hey, you know, can I blog your stuff? And he's like, yeah. And, like, you know, when you go to, like, certain places in Boyle Heights where they have, like, you know, taco trucks, or in El Sereno, you know, my daughter's father, him and I used to live there. And so for me, it was like my community, you know, and I look at LA as a whole as my community. Mm-hmm. So as I started blogging, that was what was important to me, was to get their story out there, because it brought back memories of my dad and how hard he grinded for raising six kids. You know, mm-hmm. my brothers and sisters are alive today and have beautiful lives because of my dad. The amazing work ethic that he taught us was something that I want to instill in my daughter. you know, she sees me as a single mom working hard, raising her, giving her a beautiful life. And, you know, I want her to understand that to the core of who LA is down to food. It's how you break bread with your neighbors and your friends and you share with your community. I love to cook, but I also love to go out. So that was the main reason why I became a food blogger.
So you want to be the real reason to live and die of LA, because Amen. You talked about, like, I'm not going to, if you see a lot of people moving out of the state, we talked about it earlier, like a lot of people are like, why am I going to leave LA? It's like,
oh, hell no.
It's just something that's in our blood.
I was raised here in LA. You know, my grandmother lived literally right across the street from East LA College. That's where I went to school. One of the many colleges I went to. I was a fashion student, so I went to LA Trade Tech as well. But like I said, you know, I love LA. You know, my dad, he's been buried right there in Calvary, you know, in East Los, and I won't live far away from my pop. You know, I like to go visit him every now and then.
It's like, why want to move out of the state if you have a lot of your family still buried here? Like, I'm not gonna just abandon them.
No. Family to me is paramount. It's the most important thing, and also my community and my involvement in my community. You know, that was one of the reasons why when I started to think about the weather changing and I was like, damn, it's cold. You know, people are not working. People are barely surviving. You know, how are people that are not born here, you know, because we got government checks. Well, if you're not from here, you got to hustle. So then what I decided to do is become a food blogger. And I actually started reaching out to people. And, you know, I really kind of wear my heart on my sleeve. But I also really have this mentality of I don't give a fuck. I'm going to go up to someone if I want to fuck with them and be like, yo, you have something that I see in you that I think, you know, I may be able to benefit you. You might be able to benefit me. Let's talk. Let's sit down. Let's break bread. So I reached out to some people. You know, I'm not a clout chaser, so I'm not going to name people, but I reached out to some high profile people and I was like, yo, I'm just an average girl, and I'm just going to blow up your phone and ask you these questions to say like, hey, you know, this is my idea. This is what I want to do. This is who I'm going to do it with. And I have about, you know, 5 food bloggers, and I have about maybe 3 or 4 podcasters that I'm, you know, fucking with. And guess what? I have a team of people that are behind me that we're going to do this event and we're going to raise blankets. And if we do this, what do you think about my idea? And this particular person, he was like, yo, my company is doing this and we're going to be hand delivering these blankets downtown in Skid Row. So why don't you, you know, piggyback on us? And I was like, all right, fuck it. Let's do it. So he inspired me. We became friends through social media. I won't name drop him because I respect him too much to do so. But he actually put that idea in my head. And so once I got to that point where I had about 300 blankets, it was probably one of the most exhilarating things that I've done, because growing up, my parents had multiple businesses, but the main one was off of Los Angeles and 8th. There was another one off of Broadway. But as a kid, you know, as an 8-year-old girl, I used to go walk in the streets of LA to deliver patterns to the different companies that my dad, you know, would send me on. If I had to go to do a bank deposit in my Hello Kitty backpack, I'm carrying 13 grand.
Oh, shit, you got those?
Yeah.
Hello Kitty.
Yeah, I was one of those. But I'd have like, you know, 13 G's in my backpack, and my dad would be like, mija, go down, you know, to Deborah, go to the line, to the business, and go deposit this. And, you know, there I am on my bike, my little Schwinn that I bought from Violence Walt Meat, you know. And I'd go drop off the deposit because, like, I was inconspicuous. So then I would go do this. But while we were downtown in LA and we would be delivering things, we would be driving, you know, through Grand Central. And as you drive in Grand Central, you know, LA has changed. It's come a long way.
Gentrification.
Yeah, you see the art district. You have, you know, places that are beautiful.
We'll talk about that later in the episode.
Yeah. But you also have places like Skid Row that are struggling. And so for me, my heart went out to people that are just like you and I. You know, I recently lost my job of 15 years at Ralph Lauren, and I poured my heart and soul into that job. Mm-hmm. And to be let go during a pandemic, it was devastating to me, because I was like, damn, I've given my heart and soul to this company. There's things that I've missed, family functions that I've missed, to just be there at work when we've had corporate visits. And now they're going to lay me off in a moment where we're having a pandemic. And, you know, it was kind of fucked up. But
this is back in 2020.
Correct. And so, you know, I was really hurt by it, and it really kind of affected my mental health, because financially I'm paycheck to paycheck just like everybody else is. You know,
a
lot of people were, and I still am. But look, by the grace of God, I was able to put my resume out there, and I started doing, you know, insurance, thinking I was going to either do real estate or life insurance. And, you know, that kind of wasn't necessarily my forte, but I learned a lot. I grew a lot. But then I realized, you know what? I still have my skill set. I still have my education in fashion merchandising. So I was like, let me put my resume out there. And within a week or two, I got a call from Tommy Hilfiger. And I used to be with them back in 2003.
Oh, wow.
I was laid off because of corporate downsizing. But then they ended up hiring me back. And I'm happy that I'm an assistant manager at the store. I'm doing well. But
and you met Tommy Hilfiger, huh?
Yeah, I met him. I had him on a public appearance. I actually met him and his girlfriend. And, you know, he's a cool guy, very humble. I love his fashion. It's, you know, Americana. You know, it's a good brand, and it's what I like. So I enjoy doing what I'm doing. I'm learning a lot. I'm growing a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's challenging. And as far as like the food blogging and the blanket drive, all of that goes in hand, because for me, I was able to give back to the community. You know, I'm Catholic. My mm-hmm. father was Catholic. He taught me, you know, our religion. But I'm not Catholic just because my dad's Catholic. I'm Catholic because it's my faith. It's what I believe mm-hmm. in. So if you are Catholic and if you do practice, there's times in life where you make an offering. So for me, my sister, my eldest sister, I hadn't seen her in a long time because she has a drug problem. She had a drug problem. Mm-hmm. She's actually clean now.
Yeah.
However, I made an offering to God, kind of like saying, look, God, it's like a barter. If you let me find my sister, I promise to do X, Y, and Z. So my promise was the blanket drive. Well, I'm not kidding. After I did the blanket drive, I found a slug, okay, on the floor at the parking lot at this restaurant that mm-hmm. was actually one of the many restaurants that was a donation drop-off center.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I look at signs because I always ask God for signs, and God gives me signs. And so I saw the slug, and I laughed because when I was a little kid, me and my brother used to play pinball at my dad's factory. He was an owner with three other businessmen, Joe Capitano, Larry Manfrey, my dad, and this other black guy named Tigre. Mm-hmm. And they were best friends. So they all went into business together to own this whole warehouse off of Alameda. Well, me and my brother, we used to play pinball all the time, but we didn't have quarters. So Larry Manfrey taught us how you could drill a hole through the metal of the slug and then mm-hmm. put a string through it and then, you know, jimmy the game. So you could put the string through and pull it.
Yeah, a lot of people did that
yeah,
stuff.
So that was like what he taught us.
Oh, yeah.
So,
ma'am, I got in trouble one time when I was in, at the time I was living in Wilmington, and there used to be an arcade place, and we knew that. And the owner was like, what the fuck you doing? And kicked me out. And not knowing that owner knew my dad, and said, like, oh, hey, shoot. You can get your son what he was doing.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm going to tell you something, man.
You got a whooping on that night.
I fucking ran away from, I went to my grandma's. I don't call CPS on your motherfucking now. You ain't touching my ass.
Well, my dad and my dad's friends, they were the ones that would teach us those things. Because, you know, my dad was the type of man that he'd be like, me hiding wrong until you get caught. So don't get caught. Okay, dad. Because like,
I wish I had that type of dad.
Yeah, my dad was a G.
My dad was like, my dad was a spanking. I was like, what the fuck
is
this?
Oh, my dad believed in spankings, only I wasn't the one that got spanking. Because I was my dad's like spy. Like if my eldest sister took my dad's car, I'd be like, dad, puppy.
I was a smartass.
Francine took the car.
I was a smartass to my dad.
Oh,
My dad was used to be mad and everything, and I would look at him, and I remember when I was little, and it's like, he kind of like thought about it, and he was like, kind of walked away. So he's always like, I was a mischief, and I told my dad, I mean, he's yelling at me, and my mom would be like, what are you doing? And I used to tell my dad, hey, why are you so aggressive? Why are you so mad at the world, man? It's like, what the fuck, man? You get no fucking pussy, dog?
Dang.
Now looking back like, dude, man, calm the fuck down, dude. That's how people talk.
I was not able to talk like that to my dad. My dad was a definitely yes sir, no sir type of man. My dad was 27 years older than my mom. He grew up during the Depression.
Yeah.
My father was definitely old school. Like my dad, he would literally wear like a hat, three-piece suit. He had his, you know, wingtip shoes. He always had his nails like really clean. He had rings on his pinky. He always smelled
had a ring.
Yeah, my dad always smelled like really good cologne. You know, he was a G. Like my dad was a very, like it was a gentleman.
Did he wear white dressy shoes?
No,
you don't talk about, right?
No, he wore black. His were black boots, and he would wear Carrera sunglasses, and he'd have a pocket watch with like a key. He had a pocket watch with a chain, and then he had like a pocket square. And he'd always, mm-hmm. like, if you sneezed, he'd always have a handkerchief for you.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a gentleman. Mm-hmm. But my father, who was. I would describe him as a king in our household because, like, my mother always, like, looked up to him, and she always taught my brothers and sisters to, like, adore my dad. And that's how we were raised. Like, mm-hmm. he was, like, the king in our house. And I loved my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But my father, you know, he taught us the responsibility of working hard for your family. He used to say, Mija, sometimes in life you have to do things that you don't want to do, but you do it for the love of your family. And those are words that I live by. And I constantly tell my daughter those things because, you know, she's studying to become a nurse. She's academically gifted, but she studies really hard. And her sophomore year, when she wanted to go to Italy, I said, look, you're in AP classes, so you bring me straight A's, I'll send you. Well, not knowing that this little girl, La Cabrona, was going to come back with all of her A's. And I'm like, oh, shit, like now we got to make good on it. And, you know, we did. So we sent her to where George Clooney's from, Lake Como, and she went to Cinque Terre, and she went to Venice. And so she was able to see the canals and, you know, things that she read about in books, she was able to see. And I'm proud about that because, you know, being a single mom, I wouldn't have been able to do it without the help that I have. And I'm grateful those people that have been in my life to help me along the way, help me raise my daughter. I'm grateful to that. And, you know, it all ties back to my dad and my mom and the sacrifices that they've made for us to pave the way. And my grandmother, you know, my grandmother as well. But one of the things that I love is, you know, my daughter, she's in her AP class with her teacher. And her teacher at Alhambra High School, because I'm going to call them out, she straight up told my daughter in her class, you know, kids, I want you guys to study really hard so that you don't have to go to school and then go out into the real world. And then you're going to be going to restaurants where you have to read the menu on the wall. And my daughter looked at her and she said, hold up. She goes, excuse me. And she raised her hand and the teacher called upon her. And she said, you know, Maggie, what would you like to say? And she goes, I don't want to be disrespectful, ma'am, but I don't appreciate you saying that if I get an education, I get to go to restaurants without a menu on the wall. She goes, because we go to places like that. And those are some of the best places in East LA and Boyle Heights that we love. So don't be disrespectful by saying just because you have money, you're not going to go to places like that. Because whether you have money and you're going to go eat at Larry's Steakhouse in Beverly Hills with table linen and a menu, or whether they're going to go to La Taquero, you know, if and anybody knows right there on Lorena and Whittier, there's a little taqueria next to a laundromat that we like to go to called La Estrella, and they make the best menudo and the best tacos. And, you know, my daughter knows the difference because, you know, we're people, we're human. So it's like, what? Why would you disrespect someone who works at a little hole-in-the-wall taqueria versus because you're eating in Beverly Hills or Rodeo Drive that's better? That ain't better. You know, that's just not better. That's just like the clout. That's just the image. That's just the ambiance. But food is food.
Food is food and stuff. Food. And that's where when it comes to a lot of the small businesses and everything, pretty much like it doesn't matter if it's fancy or not. You're seeing a lot of, I want to be honest, you know, I'm going to give them a shout out, you know, like 600 tacos.
Yeah, 600 tacos. That food is bomb.
And like, shout outs to LB Food Coma because it wasn't for him.
We wouldn't have learned about it. My favorite.
And this is like I'm telling you, when you go to certain cities, you know, they will have our favorite taco places, burger places and all. And I get a lot of people that DM me like, come check out this out. Come Montebello. Come Boyle Heights. Come to Hollywood. Come to here. Like, you know. I would love to and all that, but I just feel like I'm more comfortable where I'm at.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, for food bloggers, there's some that will just go to LA. You know, we give a lot of shine. But when a lot of people who come, who are outsiders, who come into Long Beach, it really pisses me off that they're using us for clout, but they don't give Long Beach a lot of shine.
Well, all I have to say,
To me, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. I fell in love with Long Beach food. Let me tell you. Okay, number one is a Cambodian cowboy. Like, I live in San Gabriel. Yeah.
He's coming on.
I live in San Gabriel Valley, so it's like the mecca of pho. Okay, you could go anywhere in Alhambra or San Gabriel and have pho. But let me tell you, when I go to Long Beach, we go to Trademarks on a Sunday, and I get a big bowl of pho, and his brisket, his ribs, oh my God, make your mouth water. Like, there's been times that I call my boss, and I'm like, yo, Cindy, you know, can I please come an hour late? Because I got to get this pho, and I'm not feeling good. I got a scratchy voice, but I want to go, you know, to work today. I'm going to be there. But can I hit up this place real quick and be about an hour late? And she's like, you know what? I got you. Go for it. And I'm like, all right, cool. And we've gone. And I'm like, yes. Like, it's so good. I love going to Trademarks to get his pho. It's amazing. And if you guys have not been there, you need to go.
And I want to say this as well. Like, I get a lot of people like, you're always showing Long Beach love. You don't show me love. I give everyone love.
Yeah.
But this is the thing about me being a podcaster. It's not about me being a podcaster is about me being there for the community.
Absolutely.
And I want to give a huge shout out to American Cholo because, you know, when I went last year to that Cali Mac event, I get to know who he is as a person. You know, he told me, he's like, yo, if you're going to be a podcaster, you know, you got to show your face, be there for the community and get to know these people. We're living in the day of age where all we do is care about social media, clouds, views and numbers and stuff like that. And we don't take the time and effort to get to know each other. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to our people, when you have conflicts or arguments or fist fights or this, whatever, mm-hmm. they don't resolve their differences and stuff because there's certain people that just want just to talk shit, but they don't want to sit down and resolve their differences.
Well, I think that shows maturity and growth and that's in a why, person.
And that's why, in a way, I like to get to know these people who are going to be on my show.
Yeah.
Get to know them, who are all about. Because some of these people, they say, yo, Mega Man, like, it's been a while since a person talked to me. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since someone get to know me.
Yeah.
Or social media, you know, and I want to get to know because what I want from a guest is a good story.
Absolutely.
A lot of people have a lot of good stories, and this is where the Cambodian Cowboy has an awesome story, and he's positive. I like,
man, I'm telling you, there's so a
lot. When you meet a lot of these business owners in Long Beach or anywhere else, you know, you got to know how they conduct themselves. Why do they open a business, you know, in the food industry and stuff? And they do it because
they're passionate about it.
And they like to see people happy about food. Food
brings the community together.
Correct.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what your political stance is, your religious stance, or your background, your culture. Breaking bread, having a bowl of soup, enjoying barbecue, laughing, listening to music, having a beer. I mean, who can't be happy after that?
This is the thing about, and I want to get into a little murky waters to tell you certain things. For you being a food blogger, you saw behind the scenes of a lot of these politics and stuff, mm-hmm. what goes into it.
Yeah.
For you, Cindy, what have you learned now looking back from you starting to be a food blogger and where you're at now? Because I know you had your page deleted and you had to start over. But this is the thing, we're living in the world. It's all tribal, all divisions, buddy buddies. Mm-hmm. And I notice, and I know, I ain't going to call people out, but you guys and ladies know who you are, food bloggers. Like, mm-hmm. you're hurting a lot of those small businesses. Like, hey, you want to get that shine? You got to pay me money and I'll promote you.
Well,
you don't do that.
I do food blogging because I love meeting people. I love hearing the owners of the food bloggers.
Are, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. Food bloggers, you don't go to small businesses and say, hey, if you want to be on my channel and shit, you got to fucking pay me. No, I'll give you that.
I've never.
And you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you,
I've
there's,
never.
There's two people.
Believe me, I
and
know.
And they're fucking pricks.
So, yeah, they are. So let me
say
this.
Sorry.
Let me say this. So to piggyback on what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
number one, when I did my blanket drive, I did it because my heart was in it for my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it because, like you said, in Catholicism, you believe in an offering. So my offering was, God, I'm going to do this service for you, for your people, and I'm going to ask a blessing from you to find my sister. Well, guess what? God delivered my sister to me. I found her, and I was able to see where she's at and where she's staying. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing thing because God answered my prayer, but he answers many of my prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, my second point is when I started blogging and going to restaurants, going to small businesses, my friends who sell jewelry, shout out to Islaments, because my girl Lisa, I love, and her jewelry is amazing. And her best friend, who owns Shop Mi Vida, who I love as well, because she brings culture and community, and those are principles that I stand by.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people that I love and I adore and I admire. And, you know, I may not see them every day. I'll post them every now and then to show love to them. But these are women that are like-minded like me, because I'm about, you know, community, and I'm also about sisterhood. So, like, you know, there's always these girls when you see them and they're like, oh, they're cute, you know, I like their lipstick color, or I like their hair. You'll be like, yo, what lipstick color is that? And they won't tell you. They're like, oh no, I don't know, I got it from someplace. They won't tell you the name.
Because this is the thing, because when you're telling me you're a food blogger, but also you're always showing love to a lot of small businesses.
Yeah, because that's how I am. Like, I'm a food blogger, but I also like spirituality. I talk about my daughter. I give advice. You know, some people sometimes DM me because they're like, dang, you know, your daughter, she's a fucking chingona. I'm like, hell yeah, she's a straight A student. She's getting her nursing degree.
Mom, leave me alone. You know? I'm studying right now. Come back in 2 weeks.
Exactly. But, you know, she's a grinder. But I've raised her with the principles that my mom and my grandmother taught me. And so because she's so dedicated and focused, you know, I reward her when she does well. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I've always kind of like taught her to be. But going back to my girlfriends, I like-minded women that support women and not, you know, that we're trying to like climb over each other, but we're trying to put our hand down and reach and lift up. So for me, I've taught those principles to my daughter, and I like women that are like, if they, you know, using the example of the lipstick, if they're like, hey, that's cute, what is it? I'm like, oh girl, you want it? It's Dose of Colors. It's, you know, this color. Because I don't like women that are like, oh, I bought it somewhere, I don't remember. Like, I want you to tell and like share, because that's what sisters do. Like when my sisters, I have six of them, six brothers and sisters, like we are not, you know, prideful people. We share, we help engage. We're about lifting each other up. So in the world, in the community that I surround myself up with on social media, those are people that I'm looking to be spending time with or posting or sharing, because those are women that inspire me. Mm-hmm. What I see them doing within their community. So whether I post people that are like plus size models or, you know, fashion articles or interesting things that I think trigger something in my brain that I'm like, you know what, that's amazing, I never knew that. I look at it that I want to teach people, because, you know, here I am, I'm in my, you know, late 40s. I want to say I wish I had someone like this in my life when I was in my 20s and my 30s. Mm-hmm. So what can I do to teach? Even where I work, you know, there's a lot of young girls and young men that, you know, ask me things and want to know certain things about, you know, my lifestyle or my blog. And so I tell them, like, you can follow me here. That's cool. You know, the Citadel follows me too, the guy who's in charge of his page. And we're actually friends now. We, you know, we've bumped into each other a few times, mm-hmm. where we've had little social conversations, and he tells me, I like your page. And I'm like, thanks. You know, I see that you like things on my page. So that's what makes me happy. If I'm doing something to motivate someone, to inspire someone, that's what I care about. All the ugliness, I try to stay away from, because it's out there. You touched on it a little.
And I like where your head's at on this. And I want to get to this next subject about, you know, clout.
Yeah.
Clout chasers,
yeah.
You know, and I think in a way, when you're seeing it now with your own eyes, and mm-hmm. and we had these deep conversations, and I look out for you, but mm-hmm. not only that, I look out for you, Cindy, mm-hmm. I look out for everyone. Yeah. I look out for Mirage, yeah. Viva Mascal, I look out for everyone, because
yeah.
this is a very shady ass world,
mm-hmm.
and I know a lot of people.
Yeah, you do.
And you know, I talk about, I put people in certain categories,
yeah.
because there's some people that you trust, you love who they are, and you see them, they're hungry. Mm-hmm. And there's some that do it for clout.
Yeah.
And I think it's very disrespectful. And it really hurts my heart that there's... Okay.
There's people that do it just for numbers.
No, if you don't have a right numbers...
They're not going to talk to you.
They're not going to talk to you. This yeah. And we had this conversation with
But that's the thing. I had it when my numbers were in the 4,000s.
Talk to me. Oh, yeah. You have 500?
And
you
right
have 500?
I'm barely at 150.
Talk to me when yeah. you're at 1,000. Yeah. Talk to me when yeah. you have 10K.
Yeah.
Oh, I even had people like, hey, yeah. Mega Man, you're a cool guy and all,
yeah.
but I'll talk to you when you get a blue check mark.
Yeah.
I was like,
well, I mean, even from my perspective, because like back when I had my numbers between, you know, 4,000, and then the hacker came and took my account, because, you know, I was winning contest after contest, because, you know, Talking Again Podcast had a contest, I won it. My friend Driscoll Kid had a contest, I won it.
Mm-hmm.
Taco God had a contest, I won it. I mm-hmm. was just like killing it. Mm-hmm. And I remember Chris asked me, just
I'd be careful with those contests. That's where you get a lot
of
hackers.
Well, that's the thing, is back in the day, it wasn't like that. You know, when COVID just happened, it wasn't like that.
You know, like, I'll give you an example. You yeah. know, when you know, with me, I like craft beers, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when the craft beers and the pandemic happened, everyone's locked down. Hey, everyone, I got a sweepstakes. Tag your name, tag three people. And if you win it, you get all this stuff.
Yes.
That's where something where people were trying to get
your emails, your phone numbers,
everything.
And that's how they hack your shit.
And
so my yeah. friend Chris, he told me, he's like, you know, how are you doing it? How are you getting all these contests? And I said, I just been manifesting. I'm just praying to God. I'm wishing on my angel numbers, and then boom, it happens. So, I mean, I was just getting favor from God. So I was like, thank you, Jesus. But, you know, whoever you believe in, God, Allah, Cuauhtémoc, you know, no disrespect, because everyone has different prayers or ways. But for me, what works for me, that's what works.
And but what so, have you learned from what I all, learned, from all the stuff, the shady stuff and everything?
Well, what I learned from is that here I was doing a food blog that was going to be dedicated to, you know, getting these blankets to help the community. And what I learned about it is, with the exception of a couple of food bloggers and a couple of people that were on my team, where their heart was, what I learned is that they're going to attach their name to my blanket drive because they saw someone who was green, who was willing to do the trabajando. And the thing is, my dad taught me no work, no eat. Well, guess what? They ate off of my plate. And that's cool, because I'll take a page from Mr. Well-Known. Yeah, you could come sit at my table, but I'm going to tell you where to sit. Well, they're going to sit in the back. Because what I learned from that is all they were doing was taking my energy, taking my gas, my time, my everything, and saying, I'm going to ride with her because she's a fucking grinder.
Can you repeat that again for people?
Sure, I can. I'll say it for the people in the back. So you could sit at my table, but bitch, you're going to sit in the back. Because I'm not going to let you come and sit off of my table, and I'm not going to cook for you and feed you and clothe you when you just used me. Because I saw your shit and I see you. And now all you are to me is a distant poof memory. And, you know, I live my life very authentically. And if I fuck with you and you're in my circle, it's because I care about you. But the minute you show me who you are, believe me, you teach me who you are. And that's okay, because I won't call it a nail. I'll call it a lesson.
Correct.
And once I learned who you are and you teach me once, I don't need to learn twice. So after that happened and I saw these people for who they are, and I saw them as just takers and leeches, basically, because that's what they were. Mm-hmm. I don't fuck with them no more. But people like, you know, well, I won't even name them, but there are certain people that I still follow who I love and I care about, and they know who they are because I like their shit. I forward their shit. I'm constantly DMing them, or I'm liking their pictures of, you know, them going to the nail salon, or them going to Avenue 50, whatever it's called. And, mm-hmm. you know, I see them. I'm happy that they're grinding and they're doing good, because I see that they're doing good work for the community because they care. When I see, you know, people getting bullied on the street, their taco truck, you know, flipped over, and then these people are down there trying to raise money to get them what they need back, that's where I see, okay, they are about the community. They love people, and they want
to
see.
Shout out to the Hood Santa.
Exactly.
And, Tito.
And they want to see people, right, you know, it do right. That's where I see that they're like-minded. And then those are the people that I'll fuck with. But the people that are just doing it for clout, that are sitting there sizing me up and judging me for wanting to put food on the table for my daughter, and if they saw my hustle as something as being a little bit too aggressive, well, maybe you put yourself in my shoes for a minute and realize that she just lost her job for 15 years. She was making 70 G's, and poof, it went gone, all because of a pandemic. And that's okay, because I'm not looking for pity, but I'm looking for empathy and compassion and understanding. But you, my friend, were not compassionate. You, my friend, talk a big deal about mental health and making awareness, but I was in your inner circle at one point and you judged me. Well, guess what? God saw your heart. And you could sit there and post all you want about you raising money for Mexicali, but you know what? Those kids saw through your bullshit. I saw through your bullshit. You know who I'm talking about. But I won't even bless you by saying your name, because you're a distant memory to me. Like I said, you're a lesson. But going back to what I did is, since it was so successful with the blanket drive, I already knew who that was. You know who that was.
I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, back to that, I did the blanket drive out of the kindness of my heart because I wanted to find my
sister. I'm a little shocked on that.
It's all good. But God gave me favor to find my sister. So because he did that, I thought, you know what? I was successful with that, and I already have all the contacts, and I already have the players in position. So let me roll out to them and DM those people and be like, yo, I'm going to do a toy drive. So Christmas came around, and then I went to Orangewood Foundation in Santa Ana, and I reached out to the people out there and said, yo, I have a team of people that are ready to roll for Christmas. What could I do to help the kids that are in the orphanage? And you know, the head over there at Orangewood Foundation, shout out to them, said, look, if you could bring us toys, that would be a blessing. I said, okay. So I reached out to a lot of the different businesses that I was in partnership with, Shout out to Michoacana in Alhambra. Shout out to, God, I don't know, to all the street vendors that are out there that, you know, set up donation drives. But we raised over 250 toys and we were able to bring it to children. And so, like, when you're a kid on Christmas, how excited were you to receive a gift? You know, like,
I was excited, but yeah. Now it's like you're going to see where a lot of people are like, man, times are getting hard.
Yeah, times are getting
and
hard.
And this is the thing where you're seeing social media and podcasters who are crying, being little bitches. You know, I don't have the numbers and all that. They're trying to reach out to other podcasters and stuff, and they're like, can't do it. Well, but it's almost like this. You got to go for broke. It's like, why?
Well, let me say this. You know, back in the day when I was a fan of yours, because that's, let's be honest, that's how I became your friend. And I started following Driscoll Kidd and I started following Mega Man's podcast. And I'd see what you did and I heard your story. I was inspired by your story. But I saw you and I see you always helping people and building their podcasting as well. But, you know, then I see the haters as well. And you have it within the podcast world.
It's
and
a
you
sad have it within the food dude, blogging I'm, world. I'm going to tell you, for me doing podcasts for 6 years, and this is a very good topic as well. I learned a lot because, and I'll say it very bluntly, I'll never forget. And because of this person, this comedian, I mean, he's cool, whatever and stuff. But when I was a baby and just I was trying to get my feet wet in the podcast, I reached out to George Perez, the comedian. And I told him, like, hey, man, I'm going to do a podcast. Cool, man. It's like, hey, you got any advice? Can you help me do a podcast? Fuck you. Learn it yourself. And I was like, wow. It's like, really? And I really changed. It really kind of hurt my heart. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it made me more like, fuck.
Made you more aggressive
and me and just go for broke. Determined, but at the same time, be more independent.
Yeah.
And I know I had over 12 or 13 different types of networks who wanted me on, but it just, the money wasn't right. The price wasn't right. And you know, there's always going to be people out there getting shit for free. Mm-hmm. And they put this thing called, hey, Mega Man, come on, do it for the cultura, which means do it for free.
Yeah, do it for the culture.
It's for my culture, but yeah. This is a business.
Yeah.
And I'm making my podcast into a business where we talked about networking and all that stuff, but a lot of people were living in the day of age. We want, show me, prove it to me, facts, this. No, why? So but you could take my fucking ideas?
Yeah, but that's the thing is like people want to hear what you have in your head, but they're not looking to pay you for what your knowledge is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, like my thing is being a food blogger to help the community, to raise awareness to how these families who came from wherever they came from, you know, Thailand, Mexico, India, mm-hmm. Asia, whatever culture they came from, how are we learning as a community? Because, you know, all this that we see, I love politics and I'm very in tune with politics. You know, we don't always agree with politics, but, you know, we have an opinion. And so for me, what I love about food is that it brings people together and it unites people over breaking bread. So for me, that was the catalyst of why I wanted to become a food blogger in addition to finding my sister. And it was kind of a way for me to get out and have an excuse to get out of the house because we were on lockdown. So I was like, if I'm out and about doing these things, I could raise awareness.
But also, don't forget this and put this in your memory bank or even for everyone listening. Beers, when you're drinking craft beers and politics, do not mix. Because when you're drinking, you might say something like, why did I fucking say that? And I saw a lot of that when the lockdowns happened, when craft beer people were going on live, talking their opinions and stuff.
Yeah.
And it divided, it separated, made a whole bunch of divisions and stuff like that because everyone has their own say, but it's your friend.
Well, myself included. I mean, you asked me a question earlier. What did I learn?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take this moment to apologize to my sister, who I love to death. She's been out of my life for about 4 or 5 years, my sister Kathy. And it's because we didn't agree politically. And I, unfortunately, very immaturely, went on Facebook and went on this rant about how I felt at the time about our president.
I don't do those things. Well, I'll call people out, but I won't. I'll make a lot of thing like, oh, whatever.
Well, like for me, that's the old me. And I mean, you could sit there and be like, oh, Cindy, you know, she lost her temper. You know, we're very passionate people. I mean, we're Mexican.
Hell yeah.
And so, you know,
speak that shit.
Exactly. So it's like, I had my opinion. I said my beef. I had the thing. The only thing is my sister actually worked, you know, in the White House. And so it kind of hit home. Yeah, she worked on the Obama administration. She also worked for Trump because my family, you know, my sister, you know, was in politics.
Fuck.
And so it's like her coming to Tommy Hilfiger and talking shit about my job and what I did was wrong. So I'd like to publicly apologize to my sister. I pray for her. I pray for myself, too, because it was part of my learning and one of my things that I had to learn through and grow through.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing. I wish I could go back in time and take it. But I think the biggest thing for me was to learn through that. And unfortunately, I don't get to talk to my nieces and nephews as much, but they know that I love them.
There's a lot of people when it comes to politics and political stuff.
You don't talk about.
There's things that you don't talk about when it comes to the dinner table and all. Yeah. But you can have an agreement, but it's like, look at, like, this is the thing. Again, shout outs to Gil from American Cholo. I like to look at his podcast. I like to know how he conducts himself, how to be very professional,
absolutely,
how to resolve differences and stuff like that. Because you might have your opinion. I might have my opinion. Miraj might have his opinion, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. But we're all friends. We're all going to be homies and homegirls and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. But that's how you feel. That's how you feel. Mm-hmm. But whatever we can do, I'm not going to hate you guys. You know, that's your opinion. But I want to have an open mind.
Absolutely.
And I want to hear the people out. But at the same time, I want to be very neutral.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, even recently with my daughter, you know, there's certain things that I say because of my generation and the way that I was brought up. Mm-hmm. And I'll say things, you know, not really meaning to hurt her or to hurt her age group of people. But I'll say things because that's how I was raised and it's my environment that I was brought up in. And then she will quickly point it out and say, Mom, you can't say that because what you're saying is offensive. And I'm like, it is. And then like she'll explain it to me. And so those are things that I've learned, you know, and, you know, I don't have the intention to hurt her or anybody else for that matter. But obviously, if there's lines that are crossed, that's where you as a person need to grow and say, hey, respectfully, I crossed the line. I'm sorry. And you grow from it.
And this is the thing. I know we didn't want to talk about it, but we're not going to say what brewery or what person. But, mm-hmm, you know, we went to an event on last Saturday and, you know, and me living in Long Beach, you know, you know how it is in Long Beach, mm-hmm, you know.
There's a beautiful gay community.
Correct. And I have a lot of friends who are gays, lesbians, trans, or whoever.
LGBT.
What they identify with their pronouns and all that stuff. But no, at the same time, people are going to be like, yo, Mega Man, why are you being a hypocrite? You don't, you know, you post all this stuff and they're... This is to me have an open mind. This is what I'm learning.
And a lot of times I feel like the things that you post is to get people to think.
It may
not necessarily be your opinion, but it's something for them to think.
And think. It's like I'm not trying to post negative. And you know, we can go on this line about my page.
Mm-hmm.
My page is not for everyone. My page is something where a lot of these schools are not teaching the right information for our people.
Mm-hmm.
And who else is going to do that?
Yeah.
I'm putting my image...
Your reputation.
My reputation, my livelihood, like everything on the line when I post.
Yeah.
But if it's a good post to get numbers, but it's not about numbers. Oh, man, it's made over 1,000. Like, oh, it's a... No. I want people to know facts. Because who else is going to do that for us?
Exactly. So
I'm just going to speak out the truth no matter fucking what.
Exactly. Well, like for me, you know, in the conversation that you're referencing at the event, I had made a comment because my daughter... who I love and, mm-hmm, who I've raised painstakingly, done everything for, you know, she's been a wonderful child to raise. She's been such a blessing and so obedient and I feel honored to be her mom. But when she turned 18, that little booger went with her girlfriends and got a tattoo on her ankle and didn't tell mom. And it's an ankle of a rainbow, which I love rainbows, you know, and if, mm-hmm, if she, you know, depending on what she prefers, that's none of my business. It's her choice to make. But what I was hurt about is that she went and did it without telling me she was going to go do it because we're so close. And so it wasn't about whether she is or she isn't because I don't give a shit about that. You know, and like you, I have family members that are and I love everyone. So it wasn't about, you know, me not being respectful to the gay community because shout out to the gay community. I, mm-hmm, love that. You could love whoever the hell you want.
Fuck yeah.
What I was upset about is she's my daughter that I've raised and I would have told her if I was going to go do it. So, you know, I was a little hurt by that. And that's where that comment came out from. But, you know, respectfully, once I saw that what I said triggered this particular person, I ran. I don't like to run, but I ran.
But because you're going to notice with that, a lot of people, they're angry, they're frustrated,
well,
they walk away.
They have their triggers.
Yeah, but this is, but you know how I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let a person just yell at me and just walk away from it. No. We're going to go, it's like, hold up.
Yeah.
You're not going to win. You're not going to go away. You said this stuff. Finish it.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Because, again, we're going to sit at a table, and we're going to discuss it, and we're going to have...
And we're listening. We're listening.
And we're going to have an adult conversation about viewpoints, because, you know, that's the reason why we get to the point where we want to kill people, or we want to fight, or we want to argue. We got to get to the point where we use our minds and our thoughts, and we have cognitive thought and conversations so that we respect one another, and we can maybe not always agree, but we can have a conversation to look at what is it that they're looking at from their perspective, to be in their shoes. Why do they think that way? And then the same with me, you know, well, this is how I was raised. This is what I believe. This is what I think. And maybe you're not going to agree with me, because not everybody is going to see it from my point of view, but this is why Cindy Cali Girl Eats is the way that she is, you know, and you could either love me or hate me, but it's who I am. Mm-hmm. Try to be as authentic as I can, you know, and my page is predominantly, you know, positive energy, but it doesn't mean that I don't get mad. It doesn't mean I don't have bad days. It doesn't mean that I'm driving and I don't have road rage at times, because, you know, I do live in Alhambra. People can't drive.
Is that true?
My insurance is higher because of
Alhambra. Yes. No, like a lot of people from Alhambra can't drive.
They can't drive.
Why?
They can't drive. I don't know why. They just can't drive, and it's frustrating.
Is it because a lot of Asians?
Oh, well, I am Asian. I'm half Japanese and Mexican.
That's right.
But I could drive.
Yo, but, you want to hear a fun fact?
Sure.
So, you know, since last year, 2022, right? You know, a lot of Americans are leaving this country to move to other countries, right? Mm-hmm. To settle, to have, you know, things have more cheaper. So everything's getting expensive.
Yeah.
Do you know that a lot of Japanese people from Japan are moving to the United States because over there is expensive?
My people are coming here.
So
right
people
on.
Are leaving, and a lot of people are coming
out. The cost
out.
Of sushi goes down.
And a lot of Japanese people are moving to the West Coast. It's like, why? You want to hear something?
What?
They're moving to Long Beach. They're moving to the Harbor Area. They're moving to East Los and all that. This is what Gil said.
Yeah.
Again, from America Cho. This is the last time. He said, we in the West Coast, whatever we're doing, this podcast, anything, we are the trendsetters.
Well, of course we are, because we're the fifth global largest economy.
But a lot
world.
Of our Japanese, they love our people.
Well, hello. We're smart people. We make good grades. We're mm-hmm. honor roll and mm-hmm. AP students. Mm-hmm. I have my honor rolls from Giano. Shout out to La Puente. But yeah, I mean.
La Puente, bad boys. A lot of sucios over there.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't allowed to leave the house.
A lot of sucios over there, too.
Shout
out Crazy Horse.
I don't know. I wasn't allowed to leave the house. My parents were very strict. And so it wasn't until I was 18 that I was able to actually go to the dome and, you know, go clubbing and stuff.
Are you a clubber back in the day?
Like,
what was your places over here where you were at? What clubs?
Okay, Florentine Gardens, El Monte, the dome, circus, arena. Yeah, I was a party girl. It was fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I like to go to, like, New Wave restaurant.
Yeah, New Wave was
Alex's
fun.
Bar.
Alex's Bar. I didn't go to until I hung out with you. And we
but did
Long
you
Beach
learn that? You know where they filmed that movie at, right?
Yeah, Alex's
like
Bar.
True Blood from HBO was at Alex's Bar.
Yeah.
Then you had
it's
like...
It's beautiful in there. Mm-hmm. If you haven't gone there, you guys got to go to Alex's Bar. It's so much fun. They have great... Try the guayava beer. Try the guayava beer.
You know what?
Amazing.
Viva Mascal and the crew, they need to have a show there.
Oh, my! They need to do a video there.
Fuck yeah.
That would be so cool on stage.
Dude, imagine that. I was like, yo, I'm going.
Yeah.
And you know, the atmosphere, the energy.
It's so fun. And they have karaoke, so you could sing, you know, and dance.
That was yesterday. It used to be $1 beer night back in the day, but it's cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nick, the guy, the DJ, I'm get him on.
He is an amazing DJ. He plays such eclectic music. He has rap. He has, like, new wave. He has... like oldies, like he's a very good DJ. He flies
Northern
all over
Soul.
The world. So mm-hmm. yeah, Northern Soul. He flies all over the place. So that boy, I follow his Instagram. He's like, bing, bing, bing. He's everywhere.
Have you had any crazy stories going to like bars or anything? Like, what the fuck?
Well, back in the day when me and my girlfriends used to go to bar hopping and we would go to Q's in Whittier or we'd go to Florentine Gardens, El Monte. Richard Humpty Vision used to play at the Dome all the time. And my nephew, Jason, he used to also link up with Richard Humpty Vision. So me and my girls were always on VIP on the guest list because we didn't have to pay because we're girls. But we used to party and dance. It was so much fun. And, you know, just same old thing that all the other kids used to do. We just love to go out and dance and have fun. And we'd have our, you know, our lollipops because we would pretend we're club kids, and it was just fun.
It's those times where it's like you go partying, you get burned out in this, you see, and it's not now that, well, I'm 42. I'm like, I don't do that. I just want to go to bed. I want to stay home.
Because I like Netflix and ordering pizza and chilling at home with the boys.
Okay, yeah, there was a person that I was talking about, asked Cindy this. It's like, I know you try, your favorite thing is pizza.
Yeah.
You tried a lot of pizzas.
Yeah.
We're gonna figure this whole thing with the Long Beach pizza thing over there in the city.
I will say my favorite pizza from Long Beach right now is Pizza 2x2. It is bomb. And my favorite is their sausage and pepperoni. And then my second favorite is their Canadian bacon and pineapple.
That's fucking
bomb
fire.
Fire.
Well, Biggie's, it's the sauce.
And Biggie's is good because the sauce. And I like their salad.
What about outside?
Outside? Okay. Gino's East in Chicago. Because we're going nationwide.
Well, we're going to keep it where your area is at.
Oh, my area? Okay, my area in Alhambra is Angelo's off of Valley. That pizza, remember the pizza that I brought? The Supreme?
That combination?
Oh, my God.
That was
fire.
You know,
that's the best pizza.
The last time I really had a good pizza for like a combination, and people are like, what? It's like, we got to go to Straw Hats.
Straw Hats is bomb. I would say like back in the day, mine was Shakey's because this is why. I'm the youngest of six kids. So my mom.
Shakey's then or Shakey's now?
Shakey's then. I like Shakey's now too.
But I don't like Shakey's now.
You don't like Mojo Potatoes?
No, I'm going to tell you. Bye. No, please. They went a little cheaper with some really? Of the sauce. You could tell. You could tell. Okay, chicken.
They're Mojos and their potatoes are papas.
Correct. Mm. But the sauce, they changed the sauce. It's like, I know, because if you were little and you went to all these places and you know it's stuck in your tongue for years to come, then all of a sudden it changes, like, it's not the same.
Well, my mom was a genius because what she would do is back in the day, Shakey's used to award you like a little gift certificate if it was your birthday. So my mom would be like, your name's Debbie tonight. And then she'd tell my sister Val, your name's Susie. So we'd go in with like these little gift certificates. We'd eat for free.
What?
But yeah, my mom would hook it up. So shout out to my mom because she was shady as fuck. But hey, man, she's putting food on the table. She had to do what she had to do. So
hustler.
She was a hustler. That's why I admire, speaking of hustlers, Commitment Soldier's little girl, man, she is a hustler. When we were at that event at, ¿cómo se llama that event over there in La Puente that we had with your
with
boys?
A What Up Partner.
With What Up Partner. What Up Partner, shout out to them. Okay, so Commitment Soldier, Commitment Queen and their family were selling their t-shirts, right? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that little girl, she straight up walked up to a G and she had two hands and like one thing was in her hand, the other thing was another hand. And she walked up to this guy and said, hey, want to play a game? And the guy's like, all right. She's like, okay, guess what hand has the money in it? And if you guess the right hand, you get the money.
Commitment Soldier's daughter is a fucking hustler.
She is smart.
It's about money.
She reminds me of me, okay, back in the day. Mm-hmm. Well, she told him, if you pick the right hand, you get the money. But if you don't, you owe me $50. Homegirl got $50. I was like, she looked like she'd like eight, and she just hustled $50 from this man. And I straight up, I looked at her. I said, okay, now that you got that $50, see that girl over there? She's selling jewelry. And I showed her the ring that I bought and the earrings that I bought. I said, go buy your sister some jewelry. So she went. She took her money. She went and got some jewelry for her and her big sister.
Did I ever tell you the story with Commitment Soldier's daughter when I saw her live and die of L.A.?
Yeah.
Okay. You know I wanted this sweater, right?
Yeah.
So we had. So he was doing his thing. He was getting his tattoo. And I think his wife, too. So I saw him like, hey, we got the sweater you want. And he said, what is this? Like, and she's like, Mega Man, you said you wanted my dad's sweater, right? He says, yeah, but you don't have an extra large. I have an extra, extra large. And she was like, come on. Like,
she's selling it to you.
Selling it to me. But this is the thing. I didn't know because I didn't feel like I don't want to open the package and wear it.
Yeah.
But so when Commitment Soldier and Commitment Queen came to over there, it's like, yo, I want to buy it. And you know how Frank is. He's a hustler. Yeah. He's like, and the Commitment Queen is like, hey, Mega Man, man, we're family. Dude, if you want to try it on. Took it off, wear it. Perfect.
Yeah.
I was like, extra, extra large. You know, it's just, you got to be comfortable.
Yeah, totally.
And they're hustlers.
I'll wash it with hot water. It'll shrink a little.
Yeah, that's
good.
It. And this is the thing. When you meet a lot of people, it's all family.
Yeah.
They're all hustlers.
Well, he has the best name in the world. Frank, just like my dad.
Commitment Soldier.
Yeah.
Female Friday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, because of him, I did an episode, a podcast in San Pedro. And, you know, the host was like, you know, who's one of your inspirations? You know, who changed your life around? Because, you know, I was going through some stuff last year. And the only one I can really mention was Gil from American Cholo and Frank, Commitment Soldier from Food's Gone Wild. Yeah. and having these deep conversations. And I think in a way, when I had Commitment Soldier last year on my podcast, you know, he put me in very murky waters with certain questions, asking me, putting me on the spot. And I never had a person put me on check like that. But it's like, it makes me think and wonder, like, he was just looking out for me. He knows me. He studies and all. And building relationships with him and a lot of other people, that's what you have to do. And it's just something where you want to follow the people who are going to make a difference in your life, but also with your podcast, but with social media. And it just is, you're just going to learn from it and grow and just put childish stuff away. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about maturity, where I hate to bring this up, you know, but, you know, if it wasn't for them, like, I don't know where my life would be because of the situation with my son.
Yeah. You know, going to that with Alex, I feel like sometimes in life, God gives you things that you have to go through. And it's hard in the moment as a Christian when you feel like, why is all these things happening to me? Why is all this bad juju happening? Mm-hmm. But what it is God is making you into this amazing diamond, and he's challenging you to overcome things that you are going to have to go through. And, you know, when we were at the hospital, and this was like day four, okay, Megaman had not had sleep for about 3 days.
I'm still exhausted.
Yeah, I know you are. And he had probably maybe 2 hours of sleep. And we were literally like minute by minute on pins and needles praying for Alex and just watching him and seeing how he was reacting to the medicines that the doctors were giving. And once we started to see that he was slowly coming back, I was blown away. I got a little starstruck because, you know, he had a phone call from someone. Can I mention?
No.
No?
Okay. I think, not yet.
General. Okay, so I'll say general. General. So he had a phone call from someone, I won't say the name, that is pretty famous and was looking just to pray for Stephen and his family. And in the moment that this particular person prayed, I realized how profound Stephen's platform is, because I've always been a fan of his and I like what he posts because that's how I follow him. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is the community of people that he has around him, like Commitment Soldier, like American Cholo, people that actually love and care about him. You know, and what I realized is this is why Stephen is who he is. And he's grown exponentially, you know, from the podcaster that I met before COVID to who he is now. Mm-hmm. But that's how we all should be. And that's the thing is, if anything from this particular podcast is, what are you doing to move the needle in your life? What are you doing to move the needle in your community? What are you doing to look in the mirror to see the reflection of you? Because we've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things that we're not proud of. But what do you do when you look in the mirror and you don't like who you see? What are you doing to fix that? I see a man who's done things exponentially to fix and turn around who he is as a person.
It was hard last year.
Yeah. And I mean, there's been times where Stephen, you know, we all go through mental health. We all go through struggles and trials and tribulations. You know, and I'm blessed to have him in my life as a friend. And when you've reached out to me at times, you know, to talk, have conversation, and as I have to you with things that I'm struggling with, you know, it's nice to have a circle of people that you feel are your tribe, that you can rely on. And, you know, my daughter's godmothers, Brianna and Isela, I've been friends with them since I was three. They're my sisters. I don't even consider them like friends anymore. They're my sisters. They're my family. But like my circle, it's not even a circle of friends. It's a dot. It's like a twin. They're omelos. They're just two. But like, I feel so blessed to have them in my life, because anytime I've ever needed anything, anything, it could be financial, non-financial, spiritual, love, support, a conversation, anything. They've always been there for me and my daughter. And I look at that as blessings. You know, God puts certain people in your life that are meant to cross your path to be there to help you and you to help them. Because it's not always about take. It's a give and take. It's an energy. It's a flow.
My mom told me this like last year when I went through all that stuff with my son and other personal things with the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom told me, you know, God's going to show you a sign, you know, about people. And you're going to go through a moment like something really is going to hit you hard. And I feel like with my son Alexander, everything changed. And I think in a way what it did God was telling me, you need to focus at home. Mm-hmm. You need to focus with your kids. Mm-hmm. You need to chill out with the podcast and live life. Mm-hmm. And it was hard. Mm-hmm. But you know me, like, I had to do what's best for my son.
Absolutely.
And because
that's what we're doing. But, we're grinding so hard for our families.
But at the same time, you don't, we might have, you and I, we might have our moments. Mm-hmm. I have my moments with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Because of how my thinking is, and again, like, sometimes in a way, like, when certain people don't want to have a conversation with me, and it turns out to be all bad, you know, I like to walk away from it. It's mm-hmm. like, this is not getting nowhere.
Let it cool off a little.
Let it cool off and everything. But if you want to let a person sit down and explain, this is what's going on, this mm-hmm. is what I'm doing, mm-hmm. and, you know, you have to part ways with a lot of people, and now I just more relaxed, more yeah. mature. You might have some hiccups here. You might have some people who don't agree with you. But I don't give a fuck about yeah. that shit. You know,
and not everybody's meant to be in your circle, too. So it's not everyone has to be kumbaya and hold hands. Like, you know, not
someone told me this. You know, Mega Man, I see you getting out there. The bigger you get, the more your episodes to me is going to get very challenging.
Well,
to you.
I like what you had shared with me one time. I don't know who told you this, but I like what you said, because my brother, he was in football and wrestling and weightlifting and yeah. all that. So mm-hmm. I attribute a lot to, like, competition or to sports. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're rising up, you're going to have a lot of haters, because you have people that are looking at you and seeing what you do, and they want that. They want that success. They want that clout, or they want to know the people that you fuck with. And not all those people that have those blue stars want to fuck with them. And see, the thing is that the more people that follow you, like the other day we were kicking at your house and you're like, hey, look, and I'm going to name drop. You're not going to name drop. So I'm going to say this, but he's on his phone and he's doing his work, reposting, you know, promoting his episodes and stuff. And all of a sudden I said, you know, like, I wanted his attention. So I grabbed his phone, but I looked and I was like, no shit. Eva Longoria just liked his post. I love Desperate Housewives. I love Eva Longoria. She's beautiful. And I was like, yo, guess who just liked your post? And he's like, yeah, give me my phone. Like, he wasn't even focused on that. And I was like, no, Steven, stop, listen, look who liked your post. And you're like, yeah, okay, so what?
This is, and the reason why, how this is because I told myself, and I learned from this, never meet your heroes.
Yeah.
Because when you meet your heroes, people get Google Gaga, they don't know how to control themselves. Mm-hmm. And to me, I don't see them as like gods or anything. They're human beings.
Yeah, they're human beings.
Because you're just caring about mm-hmm. the blue check mark. And I want to say this also, there's going to come a time with social media, with Instagram, people like, oh, I don't want to fuck with you because you only had 100 followers and I have 125 million. There's going to come a time that everyone's not going to depend on numbers anymore. Mm-hmm. And now it's an
even playing field. Yeah, because it's like, everyone's going to know everybody at some point when you're yeah. having all these people following you.
That's why, yeah. Just yeah. get used to seeing people's faces. You're going to see them, so mm-hmm. why am I going to hate on him? Yeah. I'm going to see him events here yeah. with stuff. I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah. I mean, and even me sharing about what happened during the blanket drive and all that, look, I'm professional. Like I said, I'm 49 years old. You live and learn. And for me, if I run into some of these people that I feel mm-hmm. wronged me in the past, I've already forgiven them, because guess yeah, what? Man. God already forgave me.
You don't need that stuff in your life. And that's one of the things I learned this year in January. And it's a process, but mm-hmm. it's slowly, like, my mom says, like, I'm fucking proud of you. Mm-hmm. And my mom's coming down, and
this episode
will be out in April, but we'll speak on this. You know, my mom is really looking forward to come seeing you, my boys, you know, really going to the event, because, you know, absolute best, you know, of Long Beach for 2023. This is a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
And, you know, I'm meeting a lot of people. Like, if people don't know who these people are in Long Beach, mm-hmm. these are big boys.
Yeah, they are.
You know, meeting certain families.
Shout out to Trademarks.
Yeah. And also, you know, meeting a lot of people, you know, the Pixby family, you mean a lot of these people who started Long Beach. And, you know, to be nominated, you know, in that finale, we're going to see what's up next week, you know, but at the time we'll talk about it. You know, to be in that category as one of the best podcasts of only in Long Beach is a big deal for me. Mm-hmm. I know it's a big deal because I work so hard. I build a lot of relationships with, but let's be frank.
I see how hard you work. Let's, I see the hours that you pour into your
I work hard. I'm over there for the community and all that, but I'm not doing it just to do it. I'm doing it to let people know you are the best podcaster in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. Because this is for me for a reason. I work hard, but also it's for fucking bragging rights because I don't like people who I helped out or whatever.
Talking bad on your name.
And I helped them.
Because they wouldn't like it either. And, you know, the people that are making those.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. But the thing is like they are doing that because they're jealous. And they know it. And correct. I know it.
Did you see them on the category?
No, I didn't. And you know they're on your nuts.
And
I need them to move over. Get out of the way.
And that category, you saw that category list sure of those were killers.
Yeah,
best breakfast, best mm-hmm. podcast, best influencer, yeah. but nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Silence, crickets. So, you know, and the thing is back in the day, beginning of COVID, during COVID, I also saw you helping them, giving them advice. And the people that you had on your show, you would also let them like, hey, I just interviewed XYZ person. Now you have at it. So
this is what I learned. Oh, mm-hmm. I like this one. When it comes to our people, a lot of them, or maybe you and me or anyone else, we cannot take corrective criticism. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people like, fuck you, talk your shit. No.
Yeah.
I'm only giving you corrective criticism because I like
your podcast.
That's
because you listen to them. Because you were listening hours and hours to them.
You should have done this. So, you shouldn't. Because, yeah. I make errors, too. Yeah. If someone says, hey, Mega Man, I love you. This is what you're doing. Want? Oh, shit. Let me get my notepad.
Yeah, and
they
put up.
Because, you know, I talked about, like, I always tell podcasters, get two binders. Like, why? Work on your strong points. Yeah. On your separate binder. Work on your weak points. Mm-hmm. You have to go through the fire.
Work. You have to sit there and self-evaluate yourself every 6 months of, this is what I do that's good. These are the areas that I have opportunity. I mean, you do that at a review if you work for a corporation. I mean, I know I have. I've worked for Ralph Lauren, Tommy Hilfiger, Coach. Those are things that come with working with Fortune 500 companies.
Bringing the people. And also, you know how I am. I'm always like, man, you know, you're always doing this. You're always doing that. You're doing this. It's like people always tell me, I have to do research. Mm-hmm. We're living in a day of age. We're weeding out all those people who just say shit up their ass, but there's no proof.
There's no evidence.
We need facts.
Yeah.
We need facts. And that's the thing. It's like, I have to teach you.
And
like
resourcing the data takes time.
You know, like this. I'll give you an example. Last night, no one knows when it comes to our people that when the Chicanos had over 61 Medal of Honors, mm-hmm. when it comes to our people, and no mm-hmm. one talks about, and that was when World War II.
Yeah.
Because we need to list a lot of our people, Mexicans, Latinos, Latinas, anything like
and
that.
Shout out to my uncle, God rest his soul,
because
he was in the Battle of Bulge and he has an award.
Because we know how to fight, we have heart, and we can defeat these Germans.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about I do fact checks. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to do fun facts or talk and anything because I have to be a chameleon. Because a lot of podcasters, if you're just going to focus on one, it's like, okay, that's
it. You're narrowing your search just to that.
You got to you challenge yourself. Yeah. If you want to be the best, you got to get out there. And that's what I'm doing. And if I win that award, that'd be awesome. But if I don't, hey, man, next year.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go more harder in this. And this is like something. But again, I just hope I win because, you know, it's going to open a lot of doors. And
absolutely.
And I really want to have the mayor from Long Beach.
Well, and your heart's in it. And I think the community of Long Beach knows that. So that's what we're going to hope for.
Yeah. You know, just be neutral and just show a lot of love. And, you know, I want to do something. There's some people that reached out to me. There was another death in the Fort Hood. And the second woman that passed away, you know, she was from Long Beach.
Wow.
And it's when you live in Long Beach, we're all family, local and everything, and it really hurts my heart to see like a local native or local someone, like
she's a young girl, she's someone's daughter.
It really hurts my heart. We were talking about it with Flo and Brown and King Mexico, and it's just something where it hurts. And there's going to be people out there who would be on my DMs and tell me, Omega Man, can you speak on this? Because you have a platform. And mm-hmm.
You know, you can shine light to it.
You can shine light to it. And well, a lot of people, but a lot of podcasters don't do that.
Well, I will say that's what I admire about you and what I admire of your friend, the Hood Santa, because you guys see that there's a purpose by speaking on your platform. And that's something that I've always admired about what you guys do, because, you know, there are people in the community that need a voice. And they don't have a platform that you do. So shining light to this cause, because, you know, you have single moms, single dads that are working hard and maybe they can't afford college or maybe they don't have those opportunities to them. So they say, OK, well, I'm going to go work for the U.S. government. And we as our community should feel that our children are going to be safe going to work, you know, for the U.S. government, being a Marine, in the Army, Air Force. In any branch of our U.S. government, we as mothers and as fathers should feel safe knowing that our children are going to go fight for this country that we love and we're going to get our kids back. And when we don't and they go and enlist and they're getting raped in our own government and in our own, you know, military, it's disheartening because they're doing it to get an education so that they could get their GI Bill, you know, and they're being sold this promise. But they didn't want to go get raped and murdered, you know? So having you speak on that, having this young girl from Long Beach and her family affected by
this. Her name's Anna.
Anna, you know, I'm sorry to her family that is suffering right now and having to go through, you know, this really, really dark time. It's unfortunate.
It just sucks, you know? And, you know, when I do episodes with King Mexico, the stuff that we look up, the stuff that we do research for, we do the podcast, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and I was talking to someone, it's like mental health for 2023, but also in 2024 and 25 is, yeah. I'm going to be very frank with you. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to die from fentanyl and suicide.
Well, myself included, now that you spoke on that, I want to say, you know, I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say, mm-hmm. when I lost my job with Ralph Lauren, my insurance benefits, poof, gone. And so I got on Medi-Cal. And, you know, this is someone who's made $70,000, had a really nice lucrative career. Mm-hmm. And I had to go and apply for unemployment and got on Medi-Cal. And I was able to see a therapist. And I still do see a therapist. Mm-hmm. And it helped me because
a lot of people do. And also, yeah. anyone hearing this, don't be ashamed.
No, not at all.
I know people, because sometimes in a way you need to release it.
Yeah.
To me, this is my therapy.
Yeah.
That's why I always tell you, when I say to people, podcast saved my life, because podcast conquered my depression, mm-hmm. because I needed to let it out. And this is for me to move on.
Yeah, to be therapeutic.
And that's why my mom told me, it's like, I'm so proud of you. You're doing this because mm-hmm. you're not getting into mischief and trouble.
Yeah.
This was your calling.
Yeah, it was. It is.
It took me time to find the road, but this is where I'm at.
And it's a platform that you have to help other people too, because mm-hmm. there's multiple people that you've interviewed over the years that you're able to shine light on and bring awareness to. And for me, like, there's been times where I've struggled with it. And honestly, I can say, like, you're one of the other podcasters that I listen to.
Thank you.
Chris was one of them that I listened to.
Shout out to Chris.
Driscoll Kid. But that helped me, you know, during the time where I was struggling with, you know, what am I going to do with my life? You know, am I going to go and sell real estate? Am I going to go sell life insurance? Am I going to go back to the fashion world? What am I going to do? And, you know, and as much as I love food blogging, it's not something that I do to get paid. It's what I'm doing from my heart. And so
you just love doing it.
Yeah, I just
that's
love
how
doing
I do.
It.
It's like, and look at fun. And that's like with me. It's like now I'm starting my podcast, new business. But to me, you know, I do it for fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I stay original. Like, I just like meeting people because these are the type of things that I want to do, is to sit down with you or anyone else, to have a conversation with you, to have a better understanding with you, where it's fresh, you know, who you are, how you conduct yourself, what your hobbies and everything mm-hmm. and stuff. Because, you know, there's been some guests that say, hey, Omega, man, I just want to let you know, thank you for having me on. And thank you for getting to know me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't want to get to know
me. They don't
want to
get to know, because we live in such an Instagram world where everything's a click. And click, whether you like it
click.
Or not, yeah.
Short attention spans.
Yeah. And it's a quick text message.
Sorry, my stuttering.
It's all good. it's a quick text message or it's a DM or it's, you know, just a small conversation. Mm-hmm. But like sitting down, being interviewed, having a conversation, you know, me getting to know you, you getting to know me better, and us sharing that with people via your platform. Mm-hmm. I think this is good because there's going to be people out there that are going to listen to this episode that are going to laugh and be like, oh yeah, I remember the taco truck. I remember the Roach Coach. And now it's like, what did we see during the pandemic? It became trendy and hip. You were a cool hipster mm-hmm. if you're eating at a taco truck, you know?
Mm-hmm. And also a lot of people always say, oh, how come you don't bring this person on or this? This year, what I realize is it's not about bringing like major people who have numbers. It's to bring people that are different. Because, you know, there's some certain people, guests out there that do all these podcast invasions. We already know their fucking story. Mm-hmm. I want someone different I want to learn something from you, Cindy, or anyone else. Like, is this person going to make me a better father, mm-hmm. a better human being, a better podcaster, a better person to conduct myself? You know, like, you have to think about that. That's why I want to bring certain people, because there's a lot of people that have a lot of good stories, and that's what I want. I want something organic.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I don't want no McDonald's. I want something organic, something good. Be like, oh, wow. But
he wants chilaquiles from scratch.
Well, we're going to get some food. I know there's some craft beers. We're almost at that time, but I want to say one last question for you before we sign out. This episode and this is your story. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a legacy. And I want to say this. How do you want people to remember you as?
I want people to remember me for the mother that I am to my daughter, Margarita. Mm-hmm. I want them to remember me that I lead with my heart to help the community, to go to different restaurants, to show what their story is. Who's Cambodian Cowboy? You know, who's the owner of Trademarks? I would love to interview him someday.
You mean her?
Her. I didn't know if it's him or her. Mm-hmm. But like when I go, you know, when I go to different restaurants, you know, whether it's, you know, Pizza 2x2, I'm curious to know, like, how did they, you know, like, how did they start this business? What are
Mexicanas, they? Mexicanas, mariscos.
Yeah, exactly. The mariscos, my favorite. Wow, Mariscos del Garage. Hey. It's like her story is such a beautiful story of her dad and her family and her kids. And, you know, you see it literally plastered on their truck. And how could you not fall in love with the food, let alone the people? You know, the gentleman that we met, Sergio, at 600 Tacos, you know, his food is fire. And again, shout out to LB Food Como for posting it, because that's how we discovered it. Yeah. But what I love is the community that you're able to share. And, you know, we're mentioning a lot of Long Beach foodie places because that's where Steven is from. However, you know, where I'm from and the restaurants that I like to go to with my daughter, you know, our little secret hole in the walls that mm-hmm. we go to. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a story, and that's how you get to know your community, how you get to know your neighbor. And at the end of the day, it says honor your neighbor. So there you go.
Any last words or shout outs?
No, just thank you for having me on your platform. It means a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been overdue, but I know it's been a long time coming, and you know, it's just something where you just want to surround yourself nothing but good people. And Cindy, I just want to say thank you for being there for me.
Of course.
And thank you for being a good person, you know, being there for my boys.
Of course.
Because a lot of people don't really be there.
Yeah.
And you have a heart. I mean, a really good heart, you know. And don't change.
I won't.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
And where can everyone follow you at?
Cali Girl Eats. It's CALI.GirlEats.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And everyone, you can follow me at the Long Beach Social Experiment Podcast, Rumble, YouTube, and Spotify will be in the fall. And I want to give a shout out to the homie Mirage behind the scenes.
Shout out Mirage.
East of the River Studios. Maybe I'll get Mirage on my podcast.
Right on. Like,
oh, what's up, dog? Oh, I got a lot of shit.
He does.
I see his stories. I see his videos. Yeah. I see where he's out.
I'm going to follow him. He's going to follow me.
So yeah, we see what's up, man. Everyone, give my homie a shout out, man. Give my homie Viva Mascal a shout out. But please, when you're done hearing this episode, please rate, review on Apple Podcasts. Leave me some stars. Also on Spotify as well. Leave me some stars. And Once again, Cindy, thank you for coming on the podcast. And also shout outs to all the Long Beach people. Shout outs to the East of the River people. Shout outs to the whole world. And lastly, shout outs to one of my good listeners who passed away. He got killed. He was this is the thing. It's a little emotional. I'm getting a little emotional on this. I was holding it in for like 2 weeks that you never know who's going to be hearing you or watching you. And there was two Ukrainian soldiers in the front line was listening to my podcast. And I found out 2 weeks ago that, you know, he was listening to my podcast and like a couple hours later, you know, he got killed.
I'm so sorry.
He was, you know, by the Russians.
I remember you were telling me.
And it really hurt my heart because a lot of those people who are in the front lines, you know, they're looking for podcasts to keep their mind on check because there's a lot of them that are just, they're
away from their families. It's hell on
earth.
Yeah.
It's hell on earth. And, yeah. And I just want to give a shout out to him and to his family, and they're doing it.
Yeah.
And it just really hurts my heart. But, again, that's why you always want to just be there for the people and get to know your listeners and followers around the world. Mm-hmm. So shout outs to what's going on in Ukraine. I know there's a lot of political stuff or this and that, but
don't get caught up in the agenda, guys.
Yeah, man.
Just know that they're people like you and I.
They're fighting, man. They're really fighting them. I seen the videos on YouTube. I seen everything, man. This is legit, man. Yeah. I mean, they're coming, and, you know, just be careful, guys and ladies, because we're going to war.
Yeah.
And there's no ins or ands. Like, no, we're going
to war.
Celebrate
life every day.
Every day.
Surround yourself with the people that love you and you love them.
Surround themselves.
And just try to be as good as you can. Because you know what? We all have made mistakes in our past, but it's who we are today. Make amends.
Make amends. And that's it. All right. We're out.
We're out.
Late. Bye.